Greetings, Wargamers. We're your hosts, Trevor,
Jay,
Josh,
and this is
Chain Attack.
Chain Attack is sponsored by Discount Games Incorporated. Discount Games Incorporated specializes in customer service, low prices, and prompt shipping. You can find our web store at www.discountgamesinc.com.
Welcome to Chain Attack. I'm your host, Trevor, and I don't get to play anything anymore.
I'm Jay, and I'm hoping against all hope that I will manage to submit all of my tax information to my accountant before Monday.
Oh, man. I'm Josh, and color me impressed. My new habit is to fall asleep with my Steam Deck in my hand after about 30 seconds of trying to play something.
Which games have you been telling yourself?
I finished Dave the Diver, and the truth is I kind of haven't replaced it, right? I was trying out a game, I gotta put my Steam library to see, because I've tried a few games in the past week or two. So I was trying out a game called Hell Card, which promised to be a roguelite deck builder, you know, so in the vein of Slay the Spire or whatever. And it was just okay, you know. I feel bad because I'm not sure if it's just that I'm so blinking tired or if the game is just not as engaging, right? So there's that. I've also been playing a game that is almost like a visual novel called The Pale Beyond. And you are the captain on this essentially, I want to call it almost a doomed Antarctic expedition. And, you know, you got to make decisions. And it's interesting because, like, I have failed once already, and you can roll back the game, like, you know, it kind of has a save point every day. So you can be like, okay, well, I shouldn't have done that. I guess I'll go try it a few days back. And then it, like, creates these branching timelines, and that's how it shows you your saved game. So you could even, like, go back and try a different, you know, try one of your other branches at a different date or something. So it's kind of interesting. And then the other one, which I kind of thought would keep me up, but I fell asleep with the Steam Deck in my hand on this one, is one I think I got this on a Humble Bundle, and it's called Nobody Saves the World. And I would describe it as an isometric Zelda-esque style game, right? Where you're this character named Nobody who basically gains transformation powers, and so you end up being able to transform into all these things. Like, so right now I can transform into like a rat, or I can transform into a guard or a ranger. And, you know, you might be transforming into something to like get past, like to trick somebody that you're getting past them, or you had to transform into a rat to be able to go through a rat hole and get into a different area or what have you. Anyway, it's actually pretty good, I thought. Like, you know, and I didn't know anything about it. I had no reason to try it or not, but I just like did. So, but I'm still falling asleep because, again, tired middle-aged man.
I guess the news for Discount Games Inc. is so Games Workshop has one warehouse for all of America.
Really?
Yeah, it's super fun times. That's not true, but that is the choice they have made. And the one of the things that's funny about it is it's in Tennessee, I think maybe Nashville, I don't know, but they built it there because it was a huge nexus for FedEx, and so they're going to ship everything FedEx. Now everything ships via UPS. From Games Workshop, and so they switched to the shipping providers. But a few weeks ago, Tennessee had, I mean, so they said it was a blizzard. Maybe it was just a blizzard for them, but it was certainly enough that...
You seem skeptical.
They have no infrastructure at all for dealing with snow. And so...
Oh, fair point.
Everything was shut down for a long time. They... no one could get to the warehouse, et cetera. No work was being done. Okay. And so they had a huge backlog of orders that needed to go out. And so, you know, I just had three orders that are, you know, probably worth $40,000 at cost that are arriving today, tomorrow, and Tuesday. And so, you know, we've been out of stock on a lot of things for a while. And be sure to check in as these restocks roll in. So let's before we dive into our main topic, which I haven't even discussed.
You haven't sprung on your co-hosts.
But we're ready for it. Whatever. Was there anything you guys were wanting to discuss?
I can't remember, Jay. Did I tell you that I finished Morningstar?
Yes. Because
which is the Red Rising series.
Right.
I couldn't remember if I was close last time that we...
And you were like, yes, it might have been close. You're like, it did have a nice...
Oh, okay, yeah. I think I was like, surprises. I said that he did like kind of catch me off guard, and I bought into sort of the bait and switch for a minute. And anyway, sure. And I just mainly agreed like, yep, this is a good place to stop.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. What are you reading now?
I started that the spy novel. Smiley or whatever.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I know that like that was kind of more for Trevor. Anyway, pretty fascinating so far. I'm only like 10% into it, but I'm like, okay, this is interesting. Like this is like here is the story of what could legitimately have been a spy, you know?
Yeah, I'm curious to hear your conclusion of it. I ended up deciding that I didn't go on to the second one yet. My two co-hosts will be very disappointed in what I did decide to go with, because it's interesting. Like it felt like it has the Lucari novel. It felt like it had kind of two things that worked against it as far as being able to have it be just like a quick, easy read. The first off is obviously that the author is British, and then it's also an older novel, and so there's sometimes where I'd have to read something and I wasn't totally sure what he was saying because either it was an older, you know, turn of phrase or that it was a British turn of phrase. And so, I decided to wait a little bit before reading the second book. I did enjoy the first one.
Okay. Well, so now disappoint us. What did you move on to instead?
So... I've been reading through at a pretty rapid rate. I've within a few days I read On Basilisk Station, and I'm about to finish.
Oh my gosh!
You've already read.
Oh
that.
Oh my gosh!
what? How many
Doesn't
times?
Doesn't count.
It's probably my fourth or fifth time reading.
Oh my gosh! You are such a fanboy. Good gravy!
What an awful book to read that many times.
It's an amazing book.
I'm not even disappointed. I'm just angry.
It's a great series.
I want you to check it out.
I'm mainly just sad that I could never find something that I love as much as something that bad. You know. So good job, Jay.
I mean, that's kind of how I feel about Swifties and Taylor Swift.
Like, I thought you were gonna say. Bluey. I thought it was going to be a Bluey.
Sure. I mean, sure. I wish that I could enjoy the sound of annoying kids' voices, too. That'd be great. but like, I've got a lot of friends who are like, you know, hating on Taylor Swift and like, you know, she's a talentless hack or, you know, X or Y. And I'm just like, I'm kind of jealous of all the Swifties that there's something that
they love that purely. Yeah.
Yeah. They're rabid about and get that much joy from.
Yeah.
So.
And also like, I'm sure Taylor Swift is crying herself to sleep tonight on her huge piles of money. Right.
Right.
Yeah. That was, yeah. I do, so you know, I get a lot of mirth from
Schadenfreude.
No, just reading like the right wing going into crazy.
Oh yes, that she's a Pentagon operative, right?
Yeah, or yeah, like delicious. they just can't like her and Travis Kelce, they can't wrap their minds around it. And
around to love that pure.
Yeah, it's amazing. Trevor, go ahead.
I don't really want to go down this path too far because it's dumb, but I have lots of conservative friends and I've literally seen none of them say a single word or care even a little bit about.
Yeah, it's about, a weird, like the pundit class have gone off on it. Like, that's
yeah, it does not feel the real conservative people give a rat's butt about what Taylor Swift is doing in the Super Bowl.
If to the point that Josh is making, it does feel a lot like a punditry thing because they are very concerned that when she endorses Biden again, that it's going to be.
That's going to be the ball game, baby.
Yeah, it'll be significant.
Like so. She's going to wait until 5 minutes before the game and try to do it right then to overshadow the Super Bowl.
Oh, no.
Well, there are some. Yeah, some of the theories are like, oh, she's going to, you know, this, you know, Pentagon operative is going to announce during the Super Bowl her endorsement for Biden and it's going to swing the election and et cetera. But there's always crazy people everywhere, so you know.
Okay, whatever.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
A good
Again, point. I don't want. We don't need to go down this crazy path because that is literally people are taking crazy pills if they think that that's going to.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah. Anyway, Trevor, I am interested. You mentioned briefly that you are neck deep in studying for your certification and didn't really say much more about it. How is this going for you?
Horrible.
Oh.
I took a week long class for it. At that point, when I finished the class, I really felt strongly.
You did a practice test and.
No.
We're sad.
No, actually. So I did some practice tests and actually felt even stronger coming out of those. And then this week I've been studying some more for the test that I'll be taking next week. And all the studying I'm doing this week is the exact opposite of the studying I did last week, which made me feel confident. The studying I've been doing this week is like, oh, well, I don't know that. Oh, well, I haven't seen that in ages or oh, crap, I'm going to have to rememorize that table of encryption algorithms. And it's just, I feel very overwhelmed this week. So there's not going to be.
You have it scheduled?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's scheduled for the 15th.
The 15th.
One week from today.
The end is near.
One way or another, yes. I mean, if I fail, it's not over. It just means I'm
going
to spend another couple months studying and take it again.
Yeah. Well.
The downside is if I fail, it's $750 that has been wasted.
Yeah, that's an expensive lesson.
Don't do it.
Don't fail?
Yeah.
Don't fail. Yeah. Great advice. Great advice.
I will. I'll attempt to not fail.
Hot tips from Jay.
Yeah. Okay, so we started the 4X challenge, and the first one was one selected by me, and it was a game called Deity Empires. Josh, as the person who I think is least prone to be drawn to this game, because of the graphics.
Because of the graphics.
Yeah. What would be your explanation or elevator pitch for the game?
This is old school Civilization had a love child with I'm gonna say wizardry or Ultima. Like it. First of all, I've played this, you know, basically the bare minimum amount of time so that we could have this conversation, and I'm like. This game is too good for me now in terms of like it's old school Civ, right? Like it's like you are making you are plowing fields, you are, you know, you're building
what you wish for
fences and stuff. Yeah. And like and the graphics feel old school too, but like then it's like, hey, what if we even went harder? And it's like it made the barbarians a whole nother level because there's all these different kind of monsters that are slash barbarians slash resources you can harvest with your armies, right? And even dungeons that you can go into for like, and just like a spell tree. And I mean, so it's got just like a ton of stuff bolted onto it. That was a long elevator pitch, but that's my elevator pitch.
Old school the game that the game that it's really.
This is like that meme where the drunk guy's like in the corner, like right in front of the girl in her face, like yes. trying to explain it to her. Like your elevator pitch, you've trapped them in the elevator and tried to tell them all about Deity Empires and your 20th level paladin.
Yes, if only I had gotten to 20th level lizard man engineers, you know, whatever.
So
what were you saying, the game that it's modeled off of, Jay, as well?
Yeah, I think when we talked about this earlier, I was the only one who had played the old game initially. So there was way back in the game, there
was a game, the old game
called
again?
Master of Magic.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'd never even heard of it until we discussed it last time.
And I played a lot of hours of that when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
And enjoyed it a lot. It was definitely a considered like a classic at the time, I think. And so the reason why I got interested in it was because, you know, I don't even know where I heard about it, but I had heard that there was a, you know, updated,
sort of
a remake successor. Or a spiritual successor. And so I was like, oh, that would be fun to try.
Well, so let me ask you this then. Do you believe that it is a spiritual successor? Like after having played some of it,
I would say yes.
That is a fair description, you feel like?
Yes.
Okay.
But it also, I think that there's a part of me that's like Josh, where I'm an old man now, and my tastes have changed from those of a child.
Well, and part of it also,
that's not to say that...
Not in judgment, right? Like, you don't mean that judgmentally, necessarily.
Yeah, no.
Part of it is like it does not hold your hand as much as a modern 4X game would hold your hand.
Yes, that's true.
No, not even close. Right. If there are polar opposites of the scale, this is
holding your hand. Yeah. Also, for the record, like screw them for not having hotkeys, or at least the hotkeys that I have come to love and expect.
Interesting. Trevor, what's been your what was your experience with?
So I don't mind the, I think I'm a little bit more tolerant of the, and this is funny coming from me because I'm the one that rails against no tutorials. Right. But I actually don't mind it here. I do kind of like the exploration of trying to figure some of these things out. However, here's where I'm going to rail against the no tutorial. This game is not just a little, I know it seems like a really long time since we played Civ 1, but Civ 1 was not as complex, not even in the same...
Not even remotely, yeah.
Not even remotely as complex as like, this game is.
Like elementary school versus university.
Yeah, this is the doctorate in 4X games where nothing is explained and you have to figure it all out on your own. I spent a lot of time reading tooltips, attempting to understand how those tooltips actually worked, and then attempting to make that turn that into a strategy on the table. And unlike the Civilopedia, which I did feel like did a proper job of explaining, so that even though going into Civ 1, there's no tutorial, you learn as you go, and some of it you have to delve into the Civilopedia, which has been an aspect of Civilization since the very first one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it still is to this day. The quote-unquote Civilopedia in Deity Empires is not clear, it's not well-written, and it's hard to understand. And I think that sort of...
It actively hates you, honestly.
Yeah, and I think that if I were more tolerant of spending more time in this and getting around, I think eventually I would really like this game. There's a couple of things that really sort of bit me hard, and I'll get to those in just a second, but... The fact that I can't just quickly read and get the highlights and kind of get the gist of it to keep going. Instead, I felt like I was reading just pages and pages of things that I didn't understand and that didn't seem to translate to the actual game. And I did spend quite a bit of time trying to figure some of these mechanics out and just never really got it. So to me, that's sort of difficult. And I think that in any other situation, had I been able to go to YouTube and actually get some maybe
how to play tips,
out of band tips, that would have helped. When I went to YouTube to find tips, I found videos on D&D Empires, but they were, I believe, 4 or 5 years old. And some of the core mechanics that they were talking about in the videos had clearly changed. Like, the game has evolved enough from the developer just making patches and advancing the game, mm-hmm. that the things they were talking about in those videos from 4 years ago had no application whatsoever to the game that I was playing. And that was a little frustrating too. So, and I think that some of that is probably what I'm experiencing in the quote unquote D&D Empire Civilopedia, right? I'm reading entries that maybe have not been kept up with the patches. And so some of the stuff I'm reading doesn't necessarily jive with what I'm seeing on TV or on the game. And it's like, it's just messing with my head. I'm like, well, this should work, and it's not. So that's my first complaint. But I think that I could get through it if I were to spend enough time. I'm old like you guys, and I'm not sure that I'm willing to do that. So here's my second complaint. The genre mix of Civ plus Dungeon Delver sometimes clashes. And here's where it clashes. Your characters level up as they go through these dungeons, and you start building this party of different things that you've done, and they start getting higher and higher level, and they start getting strong. And then every once in a while, you will run into
the unexpected dragon strength. Yeah,
the unexpected dragon. Or I will give you another example. I ran into Frost Wizards is what I ran into. And the god that I had chosen and the powers that I had chosen were all frost powers. So about half of the stuff I had didn't do a dang thing to them.
Oh, jeez.
And they were shooting me from across the board with frost spells and destroying me. And the game has this mechanic where I can't remember the term it uses for it, but it's essentially a challenge rating, right? Every unit has a challenge rating. And when you go in, it tells you what your force challenge rating is versus their challenge rating. And it has no part of that formula that talks about rock, paper, scissors, right?
Excuse me.
So the first time I ran into a dragon flies, dragon does not land. I have zero ranged attacks in my force.
Oh, freak.
And eventually, I think he has limited number of breath weapons, right? So eventually he does land, and I actually end up winning that combat, but only after losing. It was a Pyrrhic victory, right? I lost 90% of my force. And at that point, I cleared out all the easy dungeons near my home city. So the new army I built has nobody to fight that is an
appropriate. Oh, to kind of grow back up.
To grow back up. So yeah. I fight through that for a couple of hours, and eventually I get this party back up to this level. And then I run into this force of there's 8 frost wizards. It's not one frost wizard with other things else. It's 8 frost wizards, and they're freezing me from across the map. And I chose the dwarven faction with the dwarven leader. So guess how fast I am.
So you can't even move fast. Jeez.
Yeah. So I'm moving across the board at this snail's pace, and I'm being frozen to death repeatedly. And this is when I quit. This is when I stopped the game. Is I had this really high level party. I don't know if you guys knew this, but you can. I don't know if you played long enough to figure this out, but you can make your god flesh.
Yes.
I had my god flesh.
Oh my gosh! In your force or whatever.
In this fight, yeah. Yes, in the force. I had this massive force that were all leveled up, and I had a wide range of stuff, and my god can summon white dragons. Guess how effective white dragons are against frost wizards.
Oh man. So
I had this massive, I was doing really well. And then all of a sudden I hit these 10, 20, whatever there were frost wizards, and I'm destroyed. And at this point I'm deep into the game. I've got, 5, 6 cities this is my biggest force that I'm using to try to clear out enough area to build more cities. And I've ran into the other, God's areas. And at that point, I'm like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to be able to rebuild. And I also, I think I mentioned this to you guys off air. At that point, I realized, you know what? I'm not even sure how to win this game.
Yeah. You did tell us that. Yeah.
I still don't know how. I think the only way is dominance victory to destroy all the other factions. Mm. And at that point I was probably nine, 10 hours into the game. And I hadn't even come close to fighting another faction because I was still trying to build up this army that I had just lost all of it. And that's when I logged off and said, well, maybe younger me that didn't have work in the morning could put in enough hours to actually understand this game. But at my age, I don't have the time and effort. I would need at minimum, I need somebody else to have done the work and has a YouTube video to get me into through that break-in period. And
one of the things that's interesting is like it's like low fidelity in every way, like low fidelity graphics, low fidelity on the tutorial, on the tool tips, on the controls, right? It's just like the concept is actually pretty strong, you know, really potentially fun. But, you know, back to just echoing what we keep saying, there's so much that you would have to wade through to get there.
I was having fun. It was just when I hit that wall of oops, you had an oopsie, you went up against a thing that was, you went up against, you know, rock and you happened to be scissors. And I really didn't have a counter to it. And I'm pretty sure had I built my god a little differently, picked some different powers, maybe done a little more defensive and healing rather than going deep into frost.
Right.
Maybe it would have been, or maybe if I'd chosen a little bit different powers in frost to help me defend against frost, maybe that would have saved me. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that that's not an insurmountable task, right? But at that point in my game, I'm like, well, this just feels like it's backbreaking.
Right.
I think one of the things that, and I didn't get, I don't think I got as many combats in as Trevor did, but the thing that was kind of the issue for me with the game was that in a lot of ways, like I just didn't really feel like the combat was that fun or interesting.
Yeah, it didn't take me very long. Like maybe an hour into the game before I was like just auto combat like 9 times out of 10.
I'm so anti auto combat because I've had too many times where auto combat just randomly screws
makes me. Terrible choices.
Yeah.
I normally am too, but I just to your point, like I guess I'm sort of agreeing with Jay's point is what I mean. Like
I think if you auto combated every single fight and you were confident in you can hit auto combat this time, it becomes probably a significantly different game to the point where it's much closer to Civ than it is the Dungeon Delver that it is if you fight every game like I did. I fought every single one. I think I only did one auto battle the entire time, and it was because I was infinitely confident that I wasn't going to lose anything. Actually, no, I think I did it twice, and the second time I lost one of my warriors in a fight that shouldn't have lost anything, and I'm like, okay, never again. I'm not going to let you take what I've built that easily. So, yeah, it is a very different game. It's like you're playing two different games. You're playing this Civ game and you're playing this Dungeon Delver game, and they don't necessarily mix as well as you would like them to. And let me expand on that just a little bit. The dungeon, the fight does get more interesting as you get more units. The initial fights are far more boring because you have such a limited access to units that the ones you get are very static in their options.
Yes, that was, and it felt like, you know, I was playing orcs to start with. It seemed like they were a pretty good unit, and that I would move them up just outside of my opponent's advance range, and then they would move up into me. I would move up, attack. They would die, and I've just described basically every combat that I played in the game.
And that holds true until you get to
dragons.
Until you get to some of the more range heavy or flight based attacks. But yeah, there was dozens of combats that I had as well that were identical to that. And even as a dwarf, right? I would just sit back especially once you get dwarven ranged units, I'm just gonna sit there. And my god that I chose had ranged options. So once I got him in the flesh as one of my combat units, he would just sit there and shoot the crap out of them. And even if they sat there ranged, there was fights where I had superior ranged firepower. So it was just a matter of shooting them while they shot back, and then I would, you know, move the few units that were melee across the board until they were destroyed. It was really rare. In the normal fights, it was really rare for me to lose much. And I will admit that I didn't have the difficulty turned up very far. I think it was just normal, whatever the default difficulty was. There was very few fights. The thing is if they had been difficult and I was losing these advanced units, it would have felt backbreaking every time. There wasn't a middle ground. To get units back to that level just took so much time and effort. It was very hard. It wasn't like Civ where, you know, your units might level up once or twice maybe, and then that's kind of the cap. And getting them back to there isn't necessarily hard, and losing them isn't that big a deal. It is a little bit of a deal, but it's not as backbreaking as losing, like, you know, your 10th level Dwarven Grenadier or whatever. It's not the same. So, and maybe I just didn't understand the mechanics of getting them up to that level, and maybe I could have found a better way to do it. I don't know. I did have barracks, but I couldn't figure out how to get them.
I never got to that point, but like, yeah, that is weird. Like that maybe there should have been like a way to train them or something, right?
There is, but it only takes them to like level 3, which is not very high. It's the equivalent of barracks in Civ, where you get the first upgrade for free or whatever. Except for that, it's more like Civ would have 5 levels and you get that first upgrade for free. And you really aren't very effective until you get to level 4 or 5. It's kind of like that. I don't know. I'm sure there's more to it.
It feels like we're giving kind of a mixed review, but I guess I will say in a note of positivity towards it, and this is maybe like a very particular niche, but if you're wanting to do like a deep dive into like an old school Civ game, that I would think that this would be very, very high on the list of ones to pursue.
It has a lot of depth. I think that it will reward you for every amount of time you put into it, as far as like
it's like a freaking bargain too, for the record.
Yeah, it is. It's worth the price. There's tons and tons of depth. Like if you're the type that wants to explore all the different permutations of how you're going to approach, you know, building your fantasy Civ, I think you will find plenty of replayability. I mean, I still actually, even as much as I've complained, I still kind of want to go back, start over, pick a different god, pick different powers, and see what all my options are. And there's just that much to it. I don't know how far I went astray in my initial power selection. I might have made it more difficult on myself because of what I picked. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, my god was one who was supposedly going to be stronger at spellcasting and couldn't manifest in physical form because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it also seemed like the start of the game that my spells kind of sucked. So.
I think that's true for everyone, but yeah, the deeper you get in, the more, the one thing that was interesting to me or I didn't necessarily understand was, I would say kind of midway through my game of my 9-10 hours in, so about 4 or 5 hours in, I could not research any more spells, and it felt like I had a very limited scope of spells. And I don't know if maybe I was missing something that would unlock more options for my god to have additional spells, or if that was really the limit. But I hit my cap pretty early in what I would consider, you know, the early to mid game in a Civ style game. So
do we want to do a grade session? Or have we done enough of a summary of it? Or what do you guys think?
I'm okay for fast time management. I do want to say, like, I was already all in on this whole challenge, and I did it anyway. And I'm glad we played it. Like, but yeah, I don't know if my grade will be particularly kind.
That's okay. I mean, like, you sometimes have to go searching for diamonds in the rough, and it's okay to find something that isn't your cup of tea. And just because our grades may or may not be all that high doesn't mean that whoever's listening might find this to be, it has good reviews. There are people who do
love
this game.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just not necessarily for us.
Yeah, when we get to the audience part of the speed round grading, it will be like not middle-aged tired men. Yeah. So quick design. So here's the thing. I I actually want to give this a solid average on design. Like I would give it more points for kind of the uniqueness of combining like the dungeon crawler and the Civ and really having a lot of what makes fun old school Civ games fun. But you know, kind of like I said, the graphics, the lack of hotkeys, the kind of lack of tool tips and guidance, you know, tutorial, like that all just kind of pulls it down to a solid average for me. So I'm going to call it a 5.
I think the tool tips are probably the biggest no-no for me. Because it feels like even back in the day that Civ had enough information for you to figure it out, or yeah, it came with a manual that got you at least started, right? It may not have given you the deep delving secrets of everything in the game, but it gave you enough that you could get going. And it just doesn't feel like this game. There was multiple times where I was like, just like building a unit, I was struggling to figure out why it was not working the way I wanted, or why I was trying to research something where it wasn't quite I thought it should. And eventually I figured all that stuff out, but it just seems like even back in the mid-90s, that was kind of a, you know, that some of that stuff should have been a little clearer. So that's why I'm not maybe as tolerant about some of that stuff. I will say that the amount of depth to the game, the amount of options that you have, is significantly more than Civ ever got. And yes. I think that they're probably pretty balanced. I think there's a lot of interesting ways that you can approach the game. And I think, but the problem, the flip side of that is there's such a steep learning curve that I think most people are going to be like, well, you know, this takes too long to actually get to the point where I feel like I know what I'm doing or I'm enjoying it. But I did enjoy it. I mean, I had fun. So, but I'm probably in the same boat as Josh. I'm probably going to give it a 5.
I'm going to go up to a 7.
Oh.
With the justification that there is a lot of crap out there. And this is, like, if this is a niche that you're interested in, I think it's above average.
Okay. So your 7 is for this niche specifically then?
Yes.
Fair enough. Okay, so time management. I'm going to go up a little bit on this one. It does have that, you know, just one more turn feel to it. And I feel like the pacing can be a little off. Like the pacing, like I mean kind of how Trevor was describing, you know, I've done all this work to have this big party and all of a sudden, you know, you get blown out of the water. And
the one thing, and granted you resolved this yourself, but I guess it's maybe a bad sign, but the reason why I felt like it's maybe not as good on this one is that a big chunk of the game time that you play is combat. And
oh sure, right,
I'm not sure, and I've already gone over kind of some of my concerns about combat. So
yeah, I would be more excited about this if either A, combat was made slicker in some way, or B, the above ground phase, the building phase for your empire was simpler. The fact that they're both extremely complex and they feel like two different pace and style of games, and they don't mesh together as well as I would hope, that's my issue. Like make one of them more simple. I don't care which one. And maybe simple is not the right term, but make combat faster and more easier to understand, or flip it and make the civilization building simpler. One of the
sure. Two. Yeah. That's reasonable. So sorry, Jay, were you down to a 5 on your time management?
That seems fine. Yeah.
Okay. And Trevor?
I'm going to say even lower. I do feel the one more turn thing, but the fact that it feels like I got completely reset for what seems like a normal situation, right? You run into a combat and you fail, feel like it's a pretty big reset. Like the fact that it's in Civ, right? You're building one unit at a time in
right.
And it stops all other building, right? You can't be building a like modern games, a lot of them will let you build multiple things at a time in one particular city, even though Civ still doesn't. But my point being is a lot of them will let you build a unit while you're building a building. And this game is Civ-like in that you can only build one or the other. So losing all of your units and you only have five or six cities and it's taking, you know, four or five rounds to build a new unit, it really sets you back. And it just feels, it feels like that I lost my desire to take one more turn. And I've never had that feeling, even when I've lost big fights in Civ.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Next category is repeatability. So, I mean, if you got into the groove of this game,
if and you get into this game, and you're gonna,
you could play
this. It's going to be like hours and hours and hours.
Yeah, 100%. So I feel like I'm actually going to give that a higher number, even though I didn't get to that point, obviously. But I'm willing to call repeatability a 7.
I think it's higher than that. I think that the depth of the game is its strength. I think this is its strongest category by probably a significant margin. I think if you can get over the learning curve, this might be a game where you could put hundreds, maybe thousands of hours into if it's your cup of tea. This is, I mean, I think this is in the top 10% of replayability in games. To me, that's a 9 or a 10, right? It may not be repeatable for me,
yeah,
but it's repeatable for someone.
Yeah,
I get you, that. You talked into it, Trevor.
To the 9? Yeah. So fun. This was still just an average for me. I think this score stays in the 5 range for me. Like, I'm glad we tried it. Like,
I mean, it's probably a 3 for me.
Ooh, savage. Really. Okay. And Trevor?
I'm trying to decide if I would have played as many hours of this if we hadn't committed to this. Like, if I'd bought this on my own, would it? Because I've played it more hours than probably 90% of my Steam library. But that's not saying much, right? There's very few games in my Steam library that I've actually played more than 10 hours. So,
well, there is something to be said for this exercise that we did, right? Of like,
yeah, it forced me to play
into an amount of play time, and yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't. I would have to actually look through my list, but I certainly played it. I mean, you know, we talked in the past. We talked about like Dicey Dungeons. I played it longer than I played that, or. What are some other games? Darkest Dungeon, I think I played it longer than that.
I feel like some of that is also just the length of the game.
Yeah,
in general, fair. Though, too.
I mean, according to Steam, I played Baba Is You less than I played this.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Poor Baba Is You. And I had fun doing it. I realized at some point that it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
So I don't know where it sits. It's probably above average. It's probably 5 or 6. All right.
I'm going to put you down for 6. Overall, my overall is just slightly below average. I'm going to go with the 4.
Yeah, I probably agree with you. And I'm certain that it's my own personal opinion. My personal biases that are pushing it down. But
yeah, sure. Yeah. Jay, sure. Are you there also?
I'll go with a 5.
Contrarian.
I have to be right. I have to be a point higher than you guys. Come on.
So audience then is not do you, tired old men.
Do you like a spreadsheet with a light graphical interface?
Oh man. Jay's elevator pitch came too late and is so much better than mine.
That is a very much better one, yes.
Yeah.
I have to wonder though, like I need to like sick this on my child and see how far he gets.
Oh geez.
I don't think Gen
Z. It's for like a bizarre sociological experiment.
Yeah, I don't think Gen Z would ever. I mean, clearly.
Oh yeah, no way.
They wouldn't put up with this crap.
Yeah, Gen X clearly is no longer putting up with this crap either. But I'm wondering if Gen Z, where they would get, because my son has put some strange number of hours in some games. Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of games that like Josh talks about his son playing, and I'm like, and this is clearly a better use of time than that. So
yeah, I don't know. It's strange to me. But most of those they lean towards fun and less depth, and this is more depth and less fun. I'm interested just as an experiment to see how he would react to this level of depth to a game.
Yeah,
I assume that he would probably do what our sons always do, and that's just they would
find chaos.
Yeah, kill stuff and be like, "That was fun. Let me do it some more."
Yeah.
And they wouldn't care whether they won or not.
And he would love the spell that my Civ started with, pain spikes. So they're
so
of chaos. All right, so
let's talk about the next game.
Oh, are we doing this? Okay.
Yeah, of course we are.
This next game. This is a series. We're moving on. Moving on to the next 4X game.
Okay, so Songs of Conquest.
Is that what we decided we're doing?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't think Josh's is released yet, is it?
I should look, but I don't think
He might have to re-pick.
There was a demo, but we should do something.
When's it supposed to release?
Is the demo still out? Because I thought it was like a beta demo that was only out for a limited
time. There it is. Solium Infernum. Yeah, maybe I will have to repick. Well, that's another reason we should just do Trevor's next. Like, not to mention that I already have my 5 hours on the next one. So it actually launches on February 22nd, Solium Infernum.
Oh, okay. Well, we can probably...
It launches when, did you say?
Well, this is weird. So Steam says...
This says February 14th on mine.
Yeah, it does say February 14th. But then there's like a news announcement right below it that says, "Hello, Arch Friends. We're just dropping by to announce that we've decided to shift Solium Infernum's launch date. We'll now go live on February 22nd. So I don't know who to believe exactly. I love that there's an Arch Fiend card called Beelzebub, and he's like this gross fly-looking dude.
Considering that announcement was on February 8th, I'm going to believe that announcement over what Steam believes.
I think that seems is fair. Wise. I think that is wise. So,
but we can go Songs of Conquest.
Yes, Songs of Conquest next, which just is a little teaser trailer. Real glad we're doing this one.
I wish I could remember how this even ended up in my wish list.
Yeah, I don't know. I do wonder that too, because it feels like it should have ended up in my wish list because it shares a ton in common with what the heck is the dumb thing called? Blood Brothers? No. Battle Brothers. Did you ever play Battle Brothers?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. Right.
The combat is like, it's a little lighter than Battle Brothers. It's a little more forgiving than Battle Brothers, but it's in that same vein. You know, you have...
My ex-wife is more forgiving than Battle Brothers.
Shots fired.
That Battle Brothers is rough.
Yeah, Battle Brothers.
There's very few games that I've played that I felt like I got my literal like ass kicked. Like there was a shoe that came out of my computer.
Yeah, it reaches through the screen for sure and does damage to your.
Yeah, it did a headbutt to me. Like it was rough.
And I loved it. I got Battle Brothers sucked me in so hard. And so Songs of Conquest again. It's like, hey, what if Battle Brothers wasn't quite so brutal?
I do want to go back and replay Battle Brothers. It is one of the games where when I finished, or I don't want to say finished, when I stopped playing, I never uninstalled. I keep looking at it. In fact, it's still in my favorites. So I'm excited for Songs of Best. I hope that all right. It is.
Well, that's the little teaser then.
I am real quick before we log off. I am curious, Trevor, if you are thumbs up or thumbs down on the new sports streaming platform that's going to launch this year.
Apparently I've not heard of this.
Okay, so
thumbs non-existent.
So Disney, Fox, and Warner Brothers Discovery are going to do basically a sports version of Hulu that'll have like ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, SC, you know, all the ESPN stuff. TNT, TBS, True TV, FS1, FS2, BTN. And
not ABC, CBS, and NBC or Fox.
It will have the ABC stuff. It won't have CBS or NBC.
Fox? No.
I assume it will have Fox. Yes, it will.
And is it going to have NFL games?
Yes.
I mean, the problem is without CBS, you're missing an NBC. You're missing the Sunday night game on NBC. You're missing half of the Sunday games on CBS. That's harsh for me. It is interesting. Are you going to be able to like? Is it going to work like YouTube TV where you can watch old stuff or DVR things?
Yeah, I don't know.
Have they announced a price?
It's expected to be in the range of like $40 to $50 a month.
Holy smokes. So for $20 more, I get YouTube TV and get all the channels we just mentioned, plus all the normal TV.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm not sure that I go for that.
Okay.
If it had everything for NFL football, right. I would certainly look at it during the football season. But the fact that it's missing one less important element, like I can probably miss a few Sunday night games and be okay. And I'd only be angry when the 49ers were on Sunday night. But the other half of Sunday afternoon games would be a little bit of a backbreaker. So I don't need another streaming service, honestly.
That's fair.
The fact that the football season already...
That applies to all of us, I'm pretty sure.
Like the amount of money I spend on NFL Sunday Ticket and YouTube TV during the football season and then cancel for the rest of the year is significant.
Yeah, yeah.
And somewhat stupid.
All right, well, I'm excited to start playing some Songs of Conquest. You guys should join in as well. And also, we're curious if any of you played...
Deity Empires.
Deity Empires.
Yes, please reach out and tell us.
Deeply curious.